Acts in chapter 28. Acts in chapter 28. Kind of hit me last night that I'm middle-aged and getting older. I was there sitting with Mom and Dad before we were going to watch the ball game. And I was studying, and the study Bible I had with me that I'd gotten earlier was, the print was a little smaller. And so I said, man, I wish I had some reading glasses. And I thought, well, I wonder what Mom's got. So I asked Mom if I could use hers, and I thought, they'll probably be too strong, and doggone it if they weren't perfect. I'm 44 going on 104. So anyway, not that you're 104, Mom, but she knows I'm playing with her. If you have your Bibles, look with me, please, in the book of Acts in chapter 28. Acts in chapter 28. Hope to be a blessing to you today. Hope to be an encouragement. And also hope that this will be something that we can all learn from together. Now here, if you will, this morning, we're going to be preaching a message. And I want you to understand what I'm talking about here. The message is simply this, the Jews versus the Gentiles. Now that's not the way the Bible presents this necessarily, but it was the way that the Jews felt about the Gentiles in general. They hated the Gentiles. They wanted nothing to do with them. And that's what a lot went back to whenever you dealt with things such as the gospel. Whenever you talked about the Sanhedrin, when you talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and even in the Old Testament, a lot of them took it way too far with their attitudes. And you know, folks, the fact of the matter is, we could also say some of the same things today. Not just Jews versus Gentiles, but blacks versus whites. Right? Red versus yellow. You name it, name any ethnicity, name any culture, name any quote-unquote race, and that's the way a lot of people are. That's the way they look at it. Well, we find that the Apostle Paul, remember, was a Jew. And still yet, here he was, a minister to not only the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. Imagine how awkward it was for him to run into some of his family and some of his friends, knowing what he was at one time, and then them finding out that he was associating with people that wasn't exactly the most desirable folks to be around. But yet, here he was faithfully taking the gospel to them, preaching the gospel of Christ. We'll continue with that thought momentarily, but look with me starting in verse 25. Acts chapter 28, starting in verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and she be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. God, I ask that you would be, Lord, that you would help us today as we try to preach. Lord, we know that we are weak. We know that we are unworthy of your love. And God, we know also that we are in need of hearing from you today. God, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray if there be one here today that's lost, I pray that you would do a work in their heart. God, I pray if there be one here today that's backslidden, God, I pray that you would restore them to a right fellowship with you and relationship with you. And God, I pray that you'd help us as we just try to preach. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for all you do. For the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Acts, in chapter 28, verses 25 through 31, we find, starting in verse 25, "And when they agreed not among themselves." Now, who is this talk about, when they agreed not among themselves? This is talking about the Jews. When they didn't come to agreement among themselves, they were bickering, they were fussing, they were fighting, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah." He starts talking about a scripture that is found in the book of Isaiah. Matter of fact, it is found in the book of Isaiah and chapter 6, and we'll look at that momentarily. And he says this, "Unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Look with me, please, in the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah in chapter 6, starting in verse 8 and 9. But I want you to understand, the context of this is whenever Isaiah had that encounter with God. When he saw him as he is, high and lifted up, saw him sovereign, saw him holy, being worshipped by the seraphims. And then, of course, God in his encounter with him did a work. He purged his lips. He touched him. He cleansed him. He made him different. And not only did it make him different, but he also saw the needs of those around him. We said this before, we'll say it again. Whenever God saves you and he does a work in your heart and life, he will not only change you, but he will change your perspective about everyone else. You'll not just look at other people and think to themselves, that person's a drunk. No, what you'll see is that person is a drunk and they need to be saved, or they need to be restored in fellowship with Christ. Or you won't look at that person that is a lady of ill repute or a guy that is a whoremonger. What you will do is you'll see that person as one that has a need of Christ. You'll quit looking down your nose at everyone else, and rather you'll see that except for the grace of God, there go you or me. Amen. You see, that's what's happened with many people today. They have this idea, I'd never do what they did. Really? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm as capable as anyone of falling into any sin. Now, except for the grace of God, I've been preserved. And we talked about this on Wednesday night, that we need to be careful, because as we look at the Scriptures and we look at what it says in the book of Galatians, talk about in relation to a sinning brother, that we should never look down upon them, but those which are spiritual, we should be a people willing to try to restore them to right fellowship and right service. It takes time, it takes effort, and it'll take getting your hands dirty. Let me say that again. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes getting your hands dirty. Ministry is not clean and whitewashed all the time. Service to God, and really, folks, that's what ministry is. It's not just what the preacher does, it's what the church does. It is getting down and dirty and trying to help people. Sometimes you've got to be right there with them. Whenever they're struggling and they're having problems, you've got to get down there and pull them out. You've got to try to be a help to them somehow, some way. But also understand this. This dear brother, as he is preaching the gospel, as he is honoring the Lord, as God has done a work in his heart and life, he asked the question of verse 8. Also I heard the voice, this is after all this work had been done, he said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I can remember years ago, God starting to deal with me. Scared to death, didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do. And I finally got to the place like, all right, Lord, I don't know much, but you got what you got. Use me. Whatever way that would be. But as he said, here am I, send me. Notice in verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Verse 10. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Look at verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? In other words, how long am I supposed to go and preach? And he answered, until the cities be wasted, without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a tell tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. You know what he's saying here? Said, we want you to go, we want you to preach, and the vast majority of your ministry is no one's going to hear, no one's going to listen to what you're going to say. No one's going to respond to what you're preaching. But you know what you're going to do? This is what you're going to do. You're still going to preach. You're still going to do your job. They said, how long am I going to do this? And I'm going to paraphrase this, okay? He said, you're going to do it. And you're going to do it. And you're going to do it. And you're going to keep doing it in spite of the fact they're never going to hear. They're just going to be hardened. This was his ministry, period. You know, many times whenever young men go into the ministry, they have these great fanciful ideas that they're going to go into a church. There's going to be great revival. And listen, this is what I pray for and what I've always prayed for. And there's going to be people that's going to walk the aisle, so to speak, making professions of faith, join the church that you're a minister of, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. Man, that's what every preacher ought to want. But sometimes That's not what God's called you to do. So what do? You keep preaching. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. Listen, Paul is talking about here, because keep in context, go back with me please to Acts in chapter 28. Basically, this is what Satan's going on with the Gentiles. He's preached, he's been faithful, and they're still not listening, they're still not doing what they're supposed to do. So notice as we continue on. Verses 25 through 27, I'm going to sum it up. Paul's citation of this passage has been regarded basically as a parting shot at their stubbornness. He followed it with a declaration that from this point on, salvation will be preached to the Gentiles since the Jews have refused it. And this is something we need to remember. God has a purpose in everything. The Jews have been a blessed people. And I do believe that Israel is going to be restored. But I also believe this too. That right now, so to speak, and yes, there are Jews being saved. There are people that is a remnant that's being pulled out of the pits of hell, so to speak. But at the end of the day, right now is the time that we have an opportunity for Gentile people. And Gentile just means anyone that is outside of the Jewish race, ethnic group, whatever you want to say. We're to be busy preaching to them. Oh, am I going to refuse the Jew to preach the gospel to them? No. No, there's still Jews being saved. But for the most part, this is when the Gentiles are being reached. This is when we take the gospel of Christ to everyone we come into contact with. That's the reason we have a man like Ozark Leap that is reaching out to the American Indians in Southwest America right now. That's the reason why we support a missionary in Italy right now that's taking the gospel to them. That's the reason we support other men that are taking the gospel to other places. That's the reason why we set up here even at the Railroad Festival with gospel tracts and passing out and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there are people that need to be saved. There are people that need Christ. And yet, so many times, we don't even think about that whenever we come across them. We get so worried about our own little bubble of a world, right? We all do that. We worry about ourselves. Well, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. Listen, what does the Lord wants to do? I want to ask you a question today. I want to ask you a sincere question before we continue on. Are we like the Jews of that day? So what do you mean? What was it that the Jews were doing? They were reaching out to people that were like them, that thought like them, that looked like them, that acted like them. How are we with our outreach? I'm talking about personal outreach. I want to ask you this. Can you go up to someone and you figure out what I'm talking about here? You're smart people. Someone that doesn't look like you. That can be color. That can be shape. That can be your clothes, whatever. Education level, imagine whatever. And can you go up to them and put your arm around them without a second thought? Say, let me tell you about my friend Jesus Christ. No, better yet, let me tell you about my Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the one that has redeemed me and changed me. Can you do that? You may say, Brother Troy, I can do that. Let me ask you a question. Have you done that? Have you done that? You see, the Jews were all about those like them. Let us be careful that we're not like the Jews, where we're like all about those who are like us. Because the Bible says that we're to take the gospel to all men. Every creature. Every man, woman, and boy or girl. Because they are created in the image of God. Because they have a soul. Because they have a need. We are to take the gospel of Christ to them. Look at verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and they will hear it. Verse 28, there's four things in this verse I want you to pay attention to. Number one, whose salvation is this? It's God's salvation. He's provided it. He's the one that gives it. Number two, who is the salvation sent to? Now, remember in an earlier scripture it says that they were to go to the Jews first, right? But in particular, in this verse, who's it talking to? Gentiles. So this gives the idea that it's not just the Jews that can be saved, it's anyone outside the Jewish race too. The Gentiles can be saved. But then notice also, thirdly, who is it sent by? We've already seen this. It's God's salvation. He sent it to the Jews, and it's God that's sending it to the Gentiles. I should say Gentiles, excuse me. Then fourth, we need to see this. There will be those that hear it. That's the beautiful thing about this, folks. There will be people that will be saved. Man, I'm not here today going to sit here and tell you and that God's in heaven and He's wringing His hands and saying, oh, I hope so-and-so will be saved. No, there will be people saved. There will be people that will come to Christ. Matter of fact, you can find in Acts 13, 48. Look with me, please. Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. We'll go back to verse 46 as well. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, though we turn to the Gentiles. You see, what was said in Acts chapter 28 is that the first time that Paul has said, listen, we're going to go to the Gentiles now. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Look at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, that salvation had come to them as well. Notice, when they heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. Pretty strong wording there. But what I want you to notice is that there's a promise. There will be people saved. There will be people added. We talked about this in Sunday school. Sowing and reaping. You sow seed, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap a harvest. You sow the gospel of Christ, what's going to happen? People are going to be saved. Listen. Two or three Saturdays ago, I believe it's two Saturdays now, we sowed the gospel. And the thing is, I don't want us to get to a place where we think, okay, we're done for the year. No, God's not called us to do an annual sowing. But if we want to see a harvest, and we want to see God bless, and we want to see God save and add people here, then we got to keep sowing. We got to keep sowing. We got to keep ministering. We got to keep at it. And you know what? God, in His mercy and grace, you know what He'll do? He's going to save people. He's going to save them and He's going to add them. Listen, I've heard people say, growing up and stuff, and when I was first in the ministry, oh, listen, you know, it's the end times. People aren't going to believe. Bull. I don't believe that. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be a greatest harvest as there was maybe in the days of Charles Spurgeon. But you know the reason why people are not being, why they're not being added at places and stuff? You want to know why churches, some, are drying up and dying? It's because they've not been faithful to the gospel of Christ. They've not been faithful to the commission. You're faithful to the commission. You're faithful to minister and witness. God will honor that. And listen, folks, it's not just sending money over here and money over there. It's talking about being faithful here. Remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He said, starting first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, a lot of Baptist churches, especially independent Baptist churches, we got it good, or at least we've got it down on sowing the gospel somewhere else, but we're not taking care of Jerusalem. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful with family. Let's be faithful with friends. Let's be faithful with co-workers. That's where the gospel is to go. Now, look, please, back in Acts chapter 28. Look at verse 29. And when He had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. The Jews rejected Paul's message when he made it clear, we are going to the Gentiles. I want to say this again. The gospel of Christ is not just a Jewish gospel, nor is it just a Gentile gospel, not is it just a white man's gospel, not only is it a black man's gospel, or a red or yellow or anything else, a rich or poor or educated or uneducated gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is for all those who have a need. And everyone has a need because everyone is a sinner and everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Look at verses 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Now, I looked up what hired means, and for the most part, they agree it seems to be like a rented house. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired or rented house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Understand, Paul was confined. He didn't have open rule. And you know what? He still was busy. During Paul's 2-year confinement, he fellowshipped with many of his co-laborers who came to see him. Not only with Luke and Aristarchus, but these others spent time with him as well. Onesimus, Tychicus, Epaphras, Epaphroditus, Mark and Demas, and Timothy. Also, remember this about the Apostle Paul. While Paul's ministry was limited in its breadth, that's talking about in its width, per se, but it was not limited in his depth. You see, this can teach us something. A lot of people have the idea that to minister, you got to do something big and bold, and it's got to be this, this, and this. Paul was not able to travel. But you know what he did? Paul continued to preach. And in his ministry, he continued to preach and to win the lost to Jesus Christ. But you know something else too? The Apostle Paul also wrote four different letters at this time. The letter to Philippi, what we call the Philippians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and Philemon. He did a lot. You know what else he did too? He ministered and preached to those that were there within his talking breath or distance. Those that he was next to, he preached to them. He witnessed to them. Listen, you don't have to be a preacher in a pulpit to have a ministry. You don't have to have something public to have a ministry. Every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, we have a ministry. Your ministry might be sending little notes of encouragement, whether it be on Facebook Messenger, whether it be just saying something to someone, whether it be seeing them at the grocery store, maybe just giving them a phone call, writing them a little letter, whatever. But I'm going to tell you this about the Apostle Paul. He did not feel sorry for himself. He did not get in his little cocoon and say, I didn't get my way by doing this, this, and this, so therefore I'm just going to ball up and I'm going to sulk and I'm not going to serve God. No. He continued. Look at verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. You know, the Apostle Paul continued his work. And you know, it's been thought of. Some have said, and I agree with this, that knowing that they could not get a verdict of guilty, his accusers probably never showed up and therefore lost the case by default. That is, whenever they tried to get him in prison for good at this point. So Paul probably, and again, this is probable, was released and became free to engage in the ministry that is reflected in the pastoral epistles before being rearrested and finally being martyred. Understand, the Apostle Paul didn't quit. He kept going. He kept preaching. But you know what else? He went where the doors were open. And God opened a door for him to the Gentiles. Listen, until Christ comes back, we're to still be preaching the gospel. Do you understand that? We're to be preaching the gospel to those we come into contact with. We're to be telling them about Jesus Christ. Listen, don't get complacent. Don't get feeling sorry for yourself. Don't get to thinking, well, I don't get to do this and this. Listen, just do something. And do it for the glory of God. Because that's what God's called us to do. Maybe you're here today and you're lost. I'm going to tell you right now. You need to be saved. That's it. You're a sinner. You're literally a sinner in the hands of an angry God. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked all day long. The Bible also says that He hates the workers of iniquity. I know that's not what you normally hear. People usually say to themselves, oh, God loves you. Listen, God does love His creation. But let me also say this, He is also an angry God. And He is a God that will not be mocked. Maybe you're here today and you're lost. I'm going to tell you right now, turn from your sin, turn from yourself, turn to Christ. He's your only hope. Maybe you're here today and you're like, Brother Troy, I know I'm saved, but I'm backslidden. Then get it right. Confess it. Get right with God. If you need to get right with the church, then get right with the church too. But first of all, get things right with God. And then as you do that, see how God will use you for His glory. But if you're here today and you have a need, we tell you to come. Come and leave.